So Marcus, one of our team captains, is going to join me today.
Weird, mean things, and then the very next day they wake up and they say, I don't know where that came from. Or have you been sitting there and this good-looking girl walks by and your eyes just kind of go with her as she walks by? Or have you ever had some things come out of your mouth that you just really didn't know where they came from? Well, so Matthew, he tells us a little bit about that. He says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these things defile them. So like somewhere along the lines, some things have gotten inside your heart and resonated with you, and now you have no control over either your mouth or your eyes or whatnot.
Yeah, Jesus is talking here about that gunk that can come out of us in those bad moments, not just because we're hungry or we're angry or whatever. There's junk inside of us that escapes out in those weak moments. And so if you've ever been ashamed of what you've said, Jesus is saying here, that's coming out of your heart. Like there's some sort of dark corner in your heart. And the passage we're going to be reading as we finish Ephesians chapter 4, we finish out the series, it's going to get to us about how our mouth can play a big role with other people. So first part of this passage says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Marcus, do you want to break down that word unwholesome for us?
Yeah, so whenever I first read this passage, I'm thinking, man, when I go to those AA meetings, all those guys just let the F-bomb come out of their mouth like it's just like nothing. Every other sentence, every other word, it's like that. But it's like, man, it's not just that, you know? It's the unwholesome talk. Like, this isn't just cuss words, you know? So, like, let me give you an example of this unwholesome talk. This is kind of like a lighter side of unwholesome. So me and Jake and Gabby and Justin, we were on this trip down in Florida. And every time, well, Gabby was there, and she brings this suitcase, and the suitcase kind of weighed a lot. She was the only person there that checked her bag and didn't have a carry-on. And every time that I would pick up Gabby's bag, I'd be like, oh, and giving her a hard time about
it. It's only Marcus that did this.
Yeah.
I'm joking, yeah. No,
giving her a hard time about the size of her bag and how much it weighed and everything. And like towards the end, when Bob came and picked us up from the airport and he's dropping each one of us off, I got my last time of that, I could see Gabby's lip kind of snarl a little bit. Like maybe my unwholesome talk and me joking around has kind of offended Gabby, you know. But since then, me and Gabby have talked about it, and I asked her if I could actually talk about this in the sermon. She said, no, Marcus. But either way, I kind of had that feeling that maybe something I was saying might have been a little bit wrong by looking at this passage.
When that word unwholesome, Marcus was actually talking to me about this after looking it up. But it gets at this idea of rot. Stuff that's coming out of your mouth that's rot, that you wouldn't want to put into your life. You know? So if we read this whole verse, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And if you put that standard to yourself, you think back over the last week, everything you've said, how many things did you say that built somebody else up according to what they needed? It benefited them. Most of what we say, typical person, myself at least, doesn't fit that at all. 90% of what I say doesn't fit that. And then you see like, oh yeah, it's real easy then to let the whole unwholesome stuff sneak out to hurt other people. But if you think about this idea of everything I say should be helping someone else, a tip for this next week is, the reality is if you want to obey this verse, you probably need to speak less and definitely speak less quickly, right? If everything coming out of your mouth is going to actually help somebody, it's going to actually meet their need, unless either Jesus has prompted you to say it or you know what they need, then there's probably no reason to even talk, right? Like if you haven't thought, what does this person I'm talking to, what do they need? You haven't let that thought at least go through your head. You're probably not ready to speak, right? But I know for me, a lot of times, I'm jumping to, I have this great idea, or this great advice, or this cool thing I want to share, or just full of myself in some sort of way. And so I talk. And I haven't even taken the time to think, what does this person I'm talking to need? If we haven't taken the time to do that, then it's really hard to benefit other people with what we say.
Yeah, hold on, Jake. Yeah. So my hopes of all this is that now we know better, we'll do better. You know, like we just learned what Paul says about this.
Yeah.
You know, now we know what the expectations of him are. We all fail, but we should try. We shouldn't just stay right where we're at.
Yeah, totally. And I've got only one image in today's sermon because I really wanted this one to stick with you. It captures an emotion. I'm sure you guys have seen it if you haven't even done the same facial expression yourself, of these super tight closed eyes with tears. And there's this idea when someone looks like this, they're seeing something or something's right in front of them and they wish it wasn't like that. It hurts them just to see it. So if you think back to a time when you felt this way or someone you cared about felt that way, this emotion is what this next verse is going to talk about. I wanted us to capture that emotion before we read the verse. So here in verse 30, Paul says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you've been sealed for the day of redemption." When you think back to the first verse we read, the words that we say when they tear other people down, when they hurt other people, when they're unwholesome, there's somebody that hears all that. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, this verse says. If you believe in Jesus, if you said, "Jesus, I want to follow you, I want you to save me," then God doesn't wait for us to put anything in our life together. He immediately comes and lives with us. He bonds himself to us through the Holy Spirit. So what that means is whenever you say that sideways stuff, the Holy Spirit is hearing it. And this verse is saying that he's got that expression, like that woman had, of weeping over it, but not even wanting to see it, right? He's stuck with you. It's kind of like if you've ever been, you know, maybe around your grandma or your mom, you would clean up your speech and talk better because you were out of respect for that person, right? Or even sometimes if you're around somebody else and their mom is present, don't speak too terribly about that person, right? We probably wouldn't have made fun about Gabby in the bag even. I mean, that's a small little thing. But if Rachel had been there, it probably would have been easier on Gabby, to be honest. You know, like just because out of, like it's a little different dynamic, right? The reality is wherever you go, the Holy Spirit is with you. And the people you're talking to are people that Jesus died for. Jesus loves. The Holy Spirit wants them to be a part of his family. And so the way we talk to them, it's like we're talking to his family members that way. And it should change the way we speak. We're aware of the Holy Spirit with us, we should talk different. That's what this verse is basically saying. Marcus, you want to read this next couple of verses to us?
So it says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven you." So to me, that's like, we all know the part of the Lord's Prayer that says, "Lord, please forgive me of my sins just as we forgive others who sin against us." Like Jesus is telling us, or Jesus has shown us by being on the cross, that he's willing to forgive our sins. What right do we have to not forgive everybody else of the things that they are putting us through or we're doing to them?
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, Jesus puts this one commandment on his forgiveness, that if we don't forgive other people, he won't forgive us. Big statement. He doesn't say that about a lot of other things we could do wrong. He says, if you're going to hold on to bitterness, then you're outside of my forgiveness, which is obviously a terrible spot to be. So, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, slander, every form of malice. Can't get rid of something bad and keep empty. If you're going to get rid of something bad, you got to fill it with the good. So that's what the second verse is saying here. Is be kind and compassionate with one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So if you want to conquer these evil things in your life, you've got to start treating people right, talking to people right. Now, it's easy to read these verses and nod our head and say, like, that's great, that's good, yep, we should do more of it. It's a little different to live it out, right? It's a little different when you are having a bad day and somebody calls you who you have a rough time with. Marcus, do you want to make this a little more real for us?
Yeah, so a few weeks ago I had this situation. My daughter is calling me saying, Dad, I need some help with this college tuition stuff. She's got a scholarship, but there's still parts of it that aren't paid. And so I get off the phone and I said, you know, listen, Noel, I just helped you out with about $4,500 to buy a new car, and I really just don't have the money to help you out right now. Your mom's going to have to take care of this one. Well, then, you know, the mom gets on the phone, just texts me back and forth and making me feel some type of way about my inadequacy of being able to help my daughter. Nobody else has that person in their life, do they? And you know, it really wasn't her. It was the feeling that I had inside. So at one point, I'm literally stomping up and down my hallway, and I'm just like, beep, 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 cussing up a storm. And I'm like, at the end of this, I'm like, man, who is that guy? And I ain't seen him in around a while. And it's like immediately I get down and start praying to God. I'm like, God, I just don't want to be that guy. I don't like this anger that I have inside. And I'm thinking about these verses, and because, you know, Jake gave me these verses a few weeks ago to be thinking about. And it was just like, man, I just don't want to be that guy. So, you know, immediately I prayed. Then, the following week, and actually the last couple weeks, we've been talking about this situation in my small group on Wednesday night. And by talking about the situation, I really feel like that it's helped me, because at first I was like, my solution to this was, I'm just going to blacklist her from my phone. My kids are 18. I don't have to have anything to deal with her anymore. Man, is that really right? No, it's not right. The real solution is to clean up your side of the street. There's things that I did wrong, and so I had to, you know, apologize to her for the way that I acted.
Yeah. So I want to slow us down on what Marcus has shared. There's a lot of stuff there. So right off the bat, Marcus gets honest about all this junk came out, right? And he felt convicted right after it all came out. And you probably have all been in that spot. You do something, your anger gets the best of you. You do something stupid, and hopefully, like Marcus, it hopefully doesn't take you very long to realize you're wrong and to pray about it. Say, God, I messed up. But did you notice he did that step and he really wasn't in a good spot still, or a great spot? And sometimes we let ourselves off the hook of, oh, I'm a Christian, I've talked to Jesus about it, he's forgiven me, I'm good. But Marcus's solution still there was, well, I'm just going to avoid that whole hard issue, right? The reality of life is there's a lot of hard stuff and people that are hard for us to get along with that we can't just cut everything out of our life that's hard. And if we're going to be obedient to God's word, there's going to be some people that are hard for us to handle that we need to treat right, not just avoid. So when Marcus had the guts to bring it up to his small group, they pushed him to do a lot more than just his own time alone with Jesus pushed him to do. It's not that Jesus didn't want to push Marcus farther, but Marcus alone trying to reach out to Jesus, he didn't get the full picture until he went and talked to some other Christian guys that he trusted. And if you have been walking with Jesus by yourself, realize you're in a danger of only going to half of Marcus's story here. You're in danger of, oh, I'm going to go ask God for forgiveness, but I'm not going to really do the right thing. Because Jesus will talk to us one-on-one, but sometimes he talks to us a lot clearer when we get into a group. Christians, okay? That's what happened for Marcus. They said, look, man, you're not really doing all you need to do just by blocking her on your phone is not enough. And so Marcus had to go, how hard is that? To talk with your ex-wife and to apologize that you treated her wrong. It's not an easy thing to do. And Marcus shared, I mean, we just got a little bit of it today, but he shared with me earlier, doesn't mind me sharing now, but he said one of the reasons this made him blow up was that, you know, he has this feeling of inadequacy on the not being able to do something financial for his daughter, even if, no matter what he's done in the past, he felt inadequate in that moment. Typically, when we have some big blow-up or some big thing, there's some sort of fear or some sort of deep thing inside of us that's pressing our buttons. And you can try to avoid those things, but they'll come back up. Something will happen in Marcus's future where he feels inadequate again. That's life. And if Marcus doesn't deal with it with Jesus now and with his small group now, he's going to have another crisis, whether it's with that woman or with somebody else. There's going to be something else that makes him do something he doesn't want to do. And so when this small group pushes him, hey, go and apologize, and even go say to her, the reason what you said hurt me so much is I felt inadequate about the situation. That's why I acted the wrong way. To say that to your ex-wife, to get open and say, this is why it hurt me, to be vulnerable, that's not easy.
It's not fun, Jake.
It's not fun. Marcus, just sum it up. It's not fun. But here's the deal. Marcus, I bet, will struggle less when there's the temptation to feel inadequate. I don't know that it was totally fixed in one moment, but now that he's brought it out to the light to some other guys and taken some contrary action, Marcus is becoming stronger in Jesus. I mean, how do we become more like Jesus? It's this sort of way. Other people around us help push us, but then we do stuff in obedience to Jesus, and we become different people, okay? And the thing that Satan wants you to do is to put it under wraps. Marcus could have really easily not told anybody about it and just said, Jesus, please forgive me, and then been walking around with all this shame, and then been up here today preaching about these verses and just left out that he cussed out somebody a few weeks ago. It'd be real easy to do that. But you bring stuff into the light, then Jesus can work with you on it, okay? So you want to add anything to that? I talked for a while there.
No, I just, you know, it's not easy, man. It's not easy to admit that we're at fault. But, you know, like when we admit that we're at fault and we follow Jesus' will, it's like this weight on our shoulders gets lifted off.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't like the way that I was feeling by just black listener. I didn't just like the way that I was feeling by just pushing this to the side. The problem was still there. And by, you know, actually putting into action and doing what I was supposed to do, yeah, I get this that feeling lifted off of me.
It took courage for Marcus to come up here today and share. Obviously, not everybody needs to come give a sermon about everything they do wrong. But I do think it's okay for us to get into a small group and be open with our small group about the stuff going on in our life. Like, that is healthy. And James talks about confess your stuff to each other so you can be healed. So talking about small groups, and let's talk a little bit, just some advice from us to kind of wrap this up. How do small groups handle this situation? When someone comes to you in your group and they share something that they're struggling with, how do you handle it well? And the very first tip I would give, we'll each give a couple here. The first tip I would give is, in your small groups, be a better listener. Even if you're just a member in your small group, there's a lot of people out there that don't have the courage that Marcus had to just bring up to the whole group, here's exactly what I'm struggling with. And a lot of people, whether it's subconsciously or maybe on purpose, they throw out these little tiny hints that something's wrong. And they just throw it out in conversation. And if you're a good listener, you can pick up on it. So they might talk to you about, like, oh, you know, we went out to Main Event and blah, blah, blah about bowling. But during the conversation, there's something that comes up where they throw this little barb out about their spouse, how something happened. And then later on, there's some big story about burning meatloaf or something. But there's this little barb about their spouse. And if you start picking up on that stuff, you can ask a good question. You don't have to come in with all your advice, but you can ask a question about, hey, is everything going okay with you and Sally Sue or whoever their wife is? You know, is everything going okay there? Or if they bring up some stuff about whatever it is, if you start seeing some friction points, if you're a good listener, God will help speak to you about, like, hey, talk to them about that. And just ask some questions. It's just a way to open the door to help them be more comfortable with sharing. Because a lot of people, if they share little details and nobody picks up on it, then they feel like, well, nobody cares about me, so I'm not going to share more. Okay, so if someone shares just a little details about stuff going wrong, ask them some questions. Okay, you don't have to do any more than that to start, but just ask them some questions. So, Marcus, what's a tip that you have?
So I've been around church my whole life, you know, and but like what really distracted me from church or pushed me away from church was the fact that when I walked in the doors, I didn't feel like I fit in. And, you know, like here, you know, I definitely fit in here, but everybody that walks through these doors, they fit in somehow. But in small groups, like, it's time to be real about your problems. If you can be real, like, Jesus knows what you did. You know what I'm saying? He knows the things that are sitting in your heart that you're angry about or, whatever it is. He already knows those things. But, like, when you're at that point of sharing those things with other people and being real about them, you can have victory in your lives. Like, I remember, this is a real pushing point to me to be real. We had a guy that was in our small groups that was very respected and here at Maywood. And you know what? He shared one day that he'd been smoking some weed. And when he shared that that day, it was like three other people in the room was able to get real about some things in their lives. It just gave them the courage to open up. And when they opened up, I really truly believe that that day was a day that things got brought into light and Jesus could deal with them. And I mean, it was powerful me, and I know that it was powerful for those other three guys, because I guarantee you they wouldn't have shared those things.
Yeah, no, that can make a huge difference. You open the door for other people. A lot of times when you're worried about sharing something, you're worried, what are other people going to think about me? And Satan is using that as a lie to hold you down. The truth is, if you would share the junk in your life, it's not so much what they're going to think about you, it's like, what? How would it help them? Because they might finally be able to share the junk that they have going on. If someone in your group does have the courage to share some junk going on in their life, my final tip, and then we'll get to one more from Marcus, would be, that's a big opportunity. You know, I want to picture that it doesn't matter. We'll leave the analogies aside. So it's a big opportunity. Don't fumble that opportunity. If somebody shares, you know, it could be something, you know, maybe they share, I haven't been reading my Bible this week. And honestly, guys, like in the morning when I get up and I should be reading my Bible, I've been looking at porn on my phone because that's the only time I'm alone in my house. Like, somebody shares something like that in 1 week, they'll just be like, oh, Adam, or oh man, thank you so much for sharing that. What you should say is, you know, obviously you pray for them or whatever in that moment, but then the next morning you need to text them and be like, hey, I know this is a hard time for you, man. I'm praying for you right now. Or maybe you need to go over to their house and be like, hey, I brought some donuts. Like, let's go have breakfast. Let's read the Bible together or whatever. Like, you care about the thing that they just brought up with you, right? You say, it matters to me that you brought this up. I'm not going to fumble this opportunity. I'm going to be your brother. I'm going to be your sister through this hard thing. Because if somebody has the guts and they finally share something they've been scared to share, and then nobody in the group helps them, why would they share again, right? Like, that's the most important thing going on in your small group right then, is that you guys help whoever it is that had the courage to share. If somebody brings something up, make that like your number one priority. I'm going to help them in that issue, okay? Not with a bunch of advice, but with, I'm going to try to come alongside them and treat them right and bring them out of that struggle. Marcus, what's your final tip for us?
I'd say that when we are transparent, our story can really impact somebody. So I went to a breakfast thing this last week and there was a former Chiefs linebacker, Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis, his story, it touched me in such a way because it was a point where he was really lonely. Well, this Chiefs linebacker, you know, like, he's got a lot of money, and he, you know, why would this guy be lonely? But anyways, his story touched me so much that I shared his story with like six or seven different other people. Well, I'm saying how your story can impact somebody. You have the opportunity for your story to impact 10 guys right off the bat in this class. You know, like, you don't have to reach out and tell everybody the people's story. Matter of fact, if you're in a small groups, please do not share the things with other people that happen in your small groups with other people. But either way, you have a great opportunity to impact some people's lives.
Awesome. We've done this 6-week series, and it's all about living out Ephesians 4 in your small groups. And maybe you've been here multiple weeks, and you've nodded your head, and you thought, like, yeah, this stuff really matters. This is good. But maybe you haven't actually gone to a small group here at Maywood. So my big push for you at the end of the series would be, you got to live it out. Like what Marcus was saying, his story would have only been halfway done with his ex-wife if he had just been doing it on his own. Yeah. And don't cheat yourself out of having that small group connection. We'll have small group leaders down front along with some of the staff and their wives to pray. But come down front and say, I want to get plugged into a small group. And if you've tried a small group and maybe it wasn't a fit for you, maybe you couldn't just open up to that group, try a different one. We've got a lot of different groups. They all are the right group for somebody, but it's okay to try a few different ones until you feel like this is my group that I can open up to. So Derek and Sandra are going to come up and lead us in response. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray for each person in this room today. God, show us who we need to connect with, who we can trust to open up with our struggles. And God, I pray also you'd help us all week long to speak words that build people up, speak words that put a smile on your Holy Spirit's face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.